Peace Tie.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
My name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 93 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 93 starts out with Ryan gotta having his star on the door and ends with Sharpay trilling.
He does got to have his name. He's got to have his star on the door?
Gotta
name on the
have
door?
His
what did
star
I say?
On the door.
And then, yes. So this is a great minute to highlight Ryan Evans.
He's got the energy. He's got the pizzazz. He's got the pink pants.
He's got the vocal chops, too. What's fun about this version of the I Want It All song is he's able to sort of sing over the chorus with the sort of, I don't know how to describe this. He's doing the, like, fun, fancy notes and singing.
Yeah.
That's, like, deriving from on top of the chorus that you would expect.
Layers. Onions have layers. Ryan has layers.
It's like when you go see a band or a singer live and they're like doing the song, but more.
Yeah. But wait, there's more.
As well as all of the choreography that he's doing. And
it's
the
also tight. Like, he is so in sync with these backup dancers.
Yeah, the interactions. They're dancing. They're doing like the lean all around at the same time.
They're doing a booty pop.
Speaking of booty, they're wearing booty shorts. Like, they're these backup dancers are in tight outfits.
Yeah, yeah. Is Ryan trying to project something? It's like, yes, look at me, Juilliard.
With the outfits of his backup dancers?
Yeah, it's like the reverse of like Britney Spears performing on stage with a bunch of shirtless men.
So it's projecting
dominance.
Heterosexuality?
Dominance.
Oh, so not less the hetero or homosexuality of it all.
Yes,
but more just like the power situation. Very Foucault-esque.
My original first thought, in case people were wondering, was not Britney Spears. Do you want to know what it was?
Yeah.
Gazelle from Zootopia with the tiger dancers. And I was like, Tyler made fun of me last week for being too niche talking about Scrim. So let's talk about something a little more universal than Gazelle from Zootopia played by lovable Shakira.
I think Scrim was a little bit too niche, but I think Zootopia Gazelle is right in our wheelhouse. Who's notoriously hotter according to the internet masses? Gazelle herself or the tiger dancers?
The tiger dancers. I can for certain say that. I've been on the dark parts of Disney Zootopia's web. I was also thinking Madonna also is a very common woman dancer lady who has young male backup
dancers. That's how I would describe Madonna.
She's
a woman lady dancer.
But she also has, like, significantly younger backup dancers that are men that are usually shirtless. Like, that's part of her shtick, too.
But this is almost like, it's like a reverse irony thing. Like, you can imagine, like, a sort of 50s old Hollywood thing with, like, who's a guy that danced around in the 50s? Gene Kelly, that's a good one. You can imagine Gene Kelly dancing in a tuxedo with like 50 Las Vegas style dressed like dancer ladies behind him. Mm-hmm. And that's like a very like traditional old Hollywood thing. And then Madonna and Britney Spears are doing the reversal on that.
Okay, so that goes like Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend also did that though. Like Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
So...
so it is just kind of a long tradition, but it does feel a little bit like Ryan's doing the reversal on the reversal.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is giving this movie too much credit.
I don't think so because of Kenny Ortega. If Kenny Ortega didn't have like such a long respect for like famous choreography, I think there is some intentionality there. Let's give a little bit of credit.
It's just a shame that like it's just a flash in the pan of what this movie has to offer.
Honestly, I kind of wish we got this whole scene because I wanted to see how they did it. Did they do the weird, like, Fosse interpretive dance part where they really break it down? I don't know. We'll never know.
And in the last minute, like, we did air our complaints about the, like, you're delivering on the promise of the premise, except you're doing it as, like, a weird abbreviated montage thing. And I would almost like reel that back a little bit this minute because we get this bit of Ryan, you know, putting on his brilliant performance and then the Juilliard scouts. What are they called?
No, scouts is right. I love that he leans over and says, he's the choreographer. Like, thank you, Rick Ole. Like, that felt like a Rick Ole line. I just watched Phantom Menace recently.
Yeah, for reference, Rick Ole is the pilot of the Naboo Star Cruiser in Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, and all of his lines are famously exposition.
Like, boring, obvious exposition, not even, like helpful exposition.
Well, he does say that little droid did it, and you catch on quick, kid, which are, like, character moments,
I guess. Anyway. Yeah, Ryan is milking it. He's loving it. He points out, quote, his band.
My band.
East High, you've been great. Good night. Excuse me? It's not the end of the show. Although that would be a good finale. Like, I feel like it's not an appropriate finale for High School Musical senior year, but it would be a good finale in like an open-ended way.
I don't know if it would be a good finale in any play unless this was, again, like an ironic play where the ending is about someone trying to accrue power for the wrong reasons.
It just leaves it open-ended. I think the little tug of war is funny, too, that they have.
Because it is a villain song, technically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it definitely is. It's an evil I want song.
I want it all, yeah.
I want it. And it's an I want song in the purest form, but also evil.
It says I want right there.
Exactly.
But it's interesting, though, because structurally it's a villain song, and thematically it's kind of a villain song, but it also has this, like, well, what kid in 2009 doesn't want to be famous?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is 2008 or 2009?
2008, but...
All right. First one came out in January 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was summer of 2007. Mm-hmm. And then it was October of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Quick turnarounds. Oh, boy. Yeah, I like it when he says, kick it, girls.
And then he goes towards the back and lets them just, like, move about the stage.
But he continues doing the singing. And I really want the I want it all, comma, Ryan's version of this song. It's a shame that there's no Taylor's versions of any songs in High School Musical, because Taylor never gets any solos.
Yeah, that would be funny, though. Like a modern, like, the High School Musical cast re-releasing a song, Taylor's version.
But it's sung by Monique Coleman,
yeah.
So it's...
Yeah.
Bop to the top.
Taylor's version.
Wait, this is such a good idea.
Monique Coleman, if you're listening, have this on us. Just credit us a little bit. We don't need money. We just need recognition. That'll give us listeners.
I don't think anyone would complain if Monique Coleman, like, released her own version. like what, an EP.
What song would you want? Like Monique Coleman. Like, what song would you want from her? Because I feel like Bop to the Top isn't right for her.
Oh, yeah. I just sang the first song from High School Musical 1 that came to mind. I mean,
like, it have
to, I don't know what, like, Monique Coleman's, like, specialty in terms of singing is.
I feel like it'd have to be a Gabriella song, though. Unless it was, like, Get Your Head in the Game, which would also be a, what if she did Scream?
That's the thing. It's like at this point, it's kind of just like she's doing abstract covers. It's not like a bonus track on the CD. We were like, oh, this was supposed to be Taylor's song. And then they switched it. It's just like, no, let's just have Monique Coleman sing a version. Yeah, she could do Gotta Go My Own Way or Walk Away or the other one from the first movie. It's funny when you find yourself looking from the outside.
I'm waiting to see if you get it this time by yourself.
When there was pee and poo.
Should have just given him the answer. But Ryan is just having a good time on stage. Like, his personality is shining. The choreography's on point. His vocals are really good. It's an entertaining sequence. Like,
the extra vocalizations, again, are really hitting.
Mm-hmm.
The stage set
is fine.
Well, they've got these, like, big pink curtains, and then they've got the steps in the background, and everything is sort of this, like, glossy black. It's just like, this is a high school theater production, and they don't have this kind of budget or this kind of stage space to be lower a basketball hoop in one moment and then wheeling out some stairs and then having full sets and trees.
But we've already speculated the Evanses have contributed heavily to the reconstruction of this theater. And considering how large the audience is, this is a bigger than normal stage.
Fair, that's possible. Do we know from the behind-the-scenes stuff? Because this isn't the actual auditorium from East High,
no.
Utah.
No, I do not know.
The other school shots are from East High, but the auditorium, if I remember right, is not.
Yes, that is correct. Where specifically, I do not remember. I think it was like a college or something. I thought it was like a college or something.
Unless it is and I'm remembering wrong, in which case, I'm sorry, citizens of whatever town in Utah that East High is in. East Yuha. East Utah, right? that's why it's called East High, because it's in the city East.
No.
I wish.
Salt Lake City, Tyler.
Oh, okay. But is it in Salt Lake City or is it in, like, just outside of Salt Lake City?
I don't know. I've never
been. Is it East Salt Lake City? I guess it is.
Probably. But, sorry, we, like, kind of glossed over the whole Juilliard people thing, and I do just want to, like, get there for just a second. Like, it is so absurd in the middle. Like, Ryan is one of the people that they're scouting. They presumably know who he is. Like, they have a headshot, and they're like, ah, yes, this is one of the people we need to be paying attention to. Like, you're not gonna lean over in the middle of his performance and be like, hey, isn't he the core? Like, it's not posed as a question. It is a statement from this man to the lady sitting next to him. He is the choreographer. Like, he has to mansplain it.
It's possible that the Juilliard scouts do, like, it's not called double blind, but, like, where a situation where one of them goes in knowing who they're looking at, and the other goes in not knowing. And they're like, oh, who's, like, one person knows what to look for, and the other person doesn't know what to look for, so that they can be impressed and have sort of, like, a more raw reaction. So they're in the middle of being wowed by this performance, and he goes, ah, she must be enjoying this so much. Let me blow her mind with more information. And that's my only possible theory.
Okay, I like that theory. Or that he had to research two of them. Like, he researched Ryan and Sharpay, let's say. Although I don't know why you, like, those two have at least some similar, like, application skills. Where, like, Kelsey's kind of on her own as the composer, and Troy can kind of sing. Like, I don't quite know where Troy fits
and dance.
Yeah. But, like, if she's from the music department and he's from the dance department, and he's like, hey, he's the choreographer, and that way she can be like, oh, I'm not scouting him particularly, but...
All right, that's a good point. Yeah, they could be from different departments. One has to imagine Ryan as being the front runner for the Juilliard scholarship at this moment.
Yeah, other than Kelsey has really shown off her stuff too, in that she's written a variety of songs.
She had a weak singing in the beginning.
But she has also written many different types of songs. We've got the big show for Ryan. We've got the hip-hoppy kind for Basketball Boys.
I mean, these aren't even Kelsey's best songs. High School Musical 3 does not showcase the best of Kelsey's songwriting. We've got It's Hard to Believe That I Couldn't Sneeze. Did she write Bop to the Top?
She did write Bop to the Top. She wrote the song from High School Musical 2 that they all sang at the end.
The one where they all clap along.
Yeah.
She canonically didn't write We're All in This Together yet. Although I know there's a reprise of We're All in This Together at some point in this movie. I don't know if it's diegetic or not. I would be a very excited person to find out that when We're All in This Together comes back, it is implied that it was written by Kelsey.
That I don't remember. So that would be a very exciting thing as someone who does not remember what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because I don't know, like, in terms of composers, like, what is Juilliard's vibe there? I know that they, you know, train musicians and dancers and actors.
Are they looking for your Tick Tick Boom guy, or are they looking for, like, popular music, or, like, what, yeah. What kind of music is there? Music theory as well as performance?
Well, yes, but I imagine that one goes in as like a performer and composer.
Mm.
Like, if you imagine Leonard Bernstein went to Juilliard, I don't know where he went. He's a composer, but you would imagine that he didn't just like do composing. He probably learned how to be a conductor. A conductor is another one,
yeah.
Another field, maybe.
Yeah.
And a piano, like, piano player is sort of the universal composition instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But one worries that Kelsey's skill set might be too limited to just composing, that Juilliard wants the triple threat more than the...
She's conducting the pit at the same time. And as we'll...
I mean, in the next minute, we'll talk about how effective that conducting may or may not be.
Yeah. But Ryan then rolls out. So they end the song in this pose where they've lifted Ryan. And then Ryan rolls out of their arms into the front of the stage. This man's on fire. He cannot be stopped.
It's the classic song ends with the main performer horizontal in the arms of a crowd. But then, yeah... It's got to be the coolest roll of all time, because I don't know. I've never seen anyone roll this cool.
Also, out of a hold that's pretty high. Like, Ryan is easily taking the lead on this, Julie. Like, yeah, it's impressive. And then he gives a fun smile and wink kind of thing at the front of the stage. Like, he's so charming.
He's like a prince charming, almost. Oh. He's the king of charming.
Ryan as a prince charm, like, Ryan as 2015 Lily James Prince Charming.
Who plays Prince Charming in that movie?
I don't know. Some guy.
Some forgettable guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like it's the Brandy Cinderella or... Honestly, poor Prince Charming always gets like, he's like, eh, it's some guy.
It's not about him.
No.
Can you imagine though, original Disney Cinderella, but
Ryan,
the prince is just in bright pink pants.
Yo, that might be legit. Like,
the Prince Charming in Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella is Richard Madden.
That's right.
Who is a rather famous actor, star of Game of Thrones.
Famously never seen Game of Thrones, though. If my point of reference is 2015 Cinderella, that tracks.
To be fair, I think Richard Madden is like very famous for being usually the second most handsome guy. Like, he's always a little bit forgettable. Like in Game of Thrones, like you got Jon Snow, he's the lead. Robb Stark, he's like the B plus version. He's in Eternals in a forgettable role.
Oh, I forgot he's in that. Yeah. Well, that movie is just forgettable.
He's in Rocket Man as not Elton John.
No, he's the partner though.
And I think he's more famous now for doing like other, you know, prestige cable shows. But anyway, no need to talk more about Richard Madden.
Other than he does wear some very brightly colored pants, so I could see Ryan in that role.
In the Elton John?
No. In Cinderella.
Oh.
Still on the Prince Charming track.
But why doesn't Lucas Grabeel star in everything?
And I respect Lucas Grabeel's life decisions, whatever he's decided to do. But, like, Lucas Grabeel should be on Broadway more. Like, he should have been in the Into the Woods revival as one of the princes. Like, that would have been a great role for him.
I mean, it looks like he's doing a lot of animated stuff, which is, like, good for you. Like, I think one of the things is, like, especially when you're, like, a teen or child actor, like animated voice work is a really good way of like using your skill set in the like least demanding way possible.
And also not getting like heavy scrutiny all the time for, oh, look at where he is now. Like,
but yeah, IMDb doesn't give you your stage credits. And I'm sure he has been doing stage stuff all along. If not on Broadway, I'm sure he's extremely successful in whatever region he lives in. I'm sure he can do whatever theater production he wants.
I know
maybe he's lighting up the Chicago stages. We just haven't heard about it.
I know he's been touring recently, like doing he'll sing a little and like talk about High School Musical.
Yeah, we need Lucas Grabeel doing the Mandy Patinkin thing. Like, we need him to be like a beloved star of stage and screen whose film credits may only call up one or two famous roles, but whose stage credits go deep,
mm-hmm.
and who can be entrusted to sing all of Sondheim in one go. Like, that's the Lucas Grabeel we deserve.
And honestly, the big applause that Ryan gets here from his father, first and foremost, I love. And Darvis, too. Like, we are so happy for our boy here. Like, Mr. Evans had his own emotional journey through India or Africa. It is presumably
I think it's
India. Based on the bindi that Mrs. Evans is wearing, which is a problem, but it is so nice to see Mr. Evans so excited for Ryan. Like, he knows how big a deal this is, and he's celebrating his son accordingly.
Again, I don't know if that much thought was put into it. It's like, hey, this kid just finished performing, and we have already established that his parents are in the audience. So let's cut away to his parents. I don't know if we can credit the movie for having a developed character arc for Mr. Evans here.
In my heart, it will be.
Oh, yeah. Headcanon all the way. So, Ryan walks off stage to find Sharpay, who's about to go on stage, and she does not have much to say to him.
No. She clearly did not watch because she's giving the poor stagehand a hard time about a special. And I don't think she's talking about fish fry.
Well, yeah, she's saying, like, don't forget the special. You always forget the special. What is she, Vitruvius talking to Wild Style? What is this, the Lego movie?
I was like, it's either the Lego movie or she's really hungry and is talking about the fry fish special or the blue plate special.
She's the manager talking to the waiter. Don't forget the special. We're trying to push the special this week.
We have so much chicken. We have to sell it.
I did not have to look up Wild Style, but I did have to remember Vitruvius, Morgan Freeman's character.
Yes.
From the Lego movie.
That movie's so good.
I don't know what the special is like in the theater. Like, is it like a lighting cue?
It must be a lighting thing. But yeah, I don't know what it is in particular. If I were a better podcaster, I would have looked it up.
Well, it's just kind of filler dialogue in a moment of transition.
Yeah, but it's so, like, Ryan comes over and is, like, waiting expectantly, like, Sharpay is going to be like, oh, yeah, that was so good. Bro, you know she didn't watch it.
It's also, like, all of the other performers are, like, going off stage and Ryan's saying, like, hey, good job, like, thanks. And he's waiting here for Sharpay because, like, that's his sister and he wants to, like, check in with her. He could just go off stage and relax for a little bit and change costumes, which would probably be a better use of his time.
But
he's choosing to stand here and, like, make a connection with her.
And also, like, will probably watch her performance.
Oh, yes. Then that bears out in the next minute.
But, like, what is happening on stage right now? Because Ryan and Sharpay are not. And presumably they're changing to this other massive set that they have in the treehouse. But, like, are there just basketballers dribbling across? Like, what is making this an enticing transition?
You can have a set change during a show.
I know. But, like, usually there's something else happening on stage. Like, there's extras.
Music.
There's extras dancing across the stage. Usually bringing a...
Could just be a little interlude that Kelsey plays.
Showing off her chops.
The show is already pretty much just a little review of... Literally a review of senior year, but also review R-E-V-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
Of different scenes and songs, like might as well have Kelsey lay out a little bit of a piano solo just to flex her chops.
Little jazz track.
Sharpay's told that she's about to go on stage, so she starts doing her vocal warm-ups.
They should be able to hear, with how loud she is and how quiet yes. It is on stage, they can hear her.
Yeah, exactly.
Her ma's are so loud.
Her ma and her pa are loud when they're cheering on Ryan, but then her ma's are also loud.
I also think it's funny that her only thought to Ryan is cute pants.
Yes, I did write that down.
It's like, girl.
And they are. They're cute pants.
They are cute pants. Can't fault her there. He looks good with that. Like, that's a good costume design for them.
And speaking of trunks and cabooses, we are done with this episode.
Whoa.
I think.
When were we talking about trunks? Ryan's wearing pants.
What are trunks then, if not pants?
Shorts?
Look, I was...
Swim attire?
Can you not ruin my segue? Please, I had such a good segue.
No, I like to be a contrarian.
Did you have anything else to say about the minute, Condra?
Ryan, for always and forever.
Yes. I agree.
Now Instagram, at Amateur Nerds.
Tumblr, at Wildcat Minute.
Email, amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, tell us your favorite thing about Lucas Grabeel.
And if we collect enough of them, we will send them to him.
We'll do a whole bonus episode where we list off positive things about Lucas Grabeel.
How wholesome would that be?
Well, because he's not in much of the movie, so other minutes of the movies are like shout outs to Zac Efron for being great, but it's only when he's on screen do we get to say good things. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Special thanks to our artist Theo Golden at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our music man, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out what Sharpay is going to do on stage with or without Troy. You can bet on it.